Well, it's good to be here with you guys this morning. My dad does send his regards. He's unable to make it with just everything that's going on down there. But he's doing well, and he misses you guys. But this morning, we're going to be looking at a little thing that's dear to my heart, as it is to George's, that as he was told us in his testimony. We're going to look at worship and what worship is. And we're going to see that worship is not just some guy up here playing some songs on his guitar. Worship is important. Worship is a daily life. It's our daily life. It's what we do for the Lord. So go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're kind of be all around in the Word today, so just have your swords ready and out. Worship is an important aspect of our gatherings, and you know, as Calvaries, we give good time to worship. We set aside, you know, about whatever, half an hour. It just depends on the church, but we set aside this time. Not only, they're not just songs that we sing to the Lord, as we're going to see, but it's an offering of praise that we're bringing to Him. So first off, what I wanted to look at is the definition of worship. What is worship? Now, I went on the dictionary.com, good old dictionary.com, and according to it, worship is an adoring reverence or regards towards an object or person. Now, obviously, we're worshiping the Lord. So we are to have an adoring reverence or regard, same hand in hand there, towards the Lord and for Him, for His glory. And we're going to see that worship is this reverence that it's from our lives, it's from our hearts, and from all we are and who we are. Now, if you would, go ahead and turn with me. I know I just told you to turn to 2 Samuel, but go ahead and turn with me to Revelation 5. Now, this is an awesome, awesome passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorites. Last semester, we were going through, I was taking a Revelation class. I was in the Bible college, and taking a Revelation class, and we had a guest speaker this night, and it was just an awesome. The Lord really met us there in that class, and you would think, in a class, really? You know, but it was amazing. The Lord was speaking through His Word. You know, sometimes when I was in the college, I was just like, oh, man, another class. Because you get totally inundated. You're always pouring into yourself through Scripture. But this class was amazing. I mean, I'm not trying to give glory to man or anything, but it was really good. The Lord really met us there. Anyways, look with me at verse 8. We're going to start there. And he says, John's writing, and he says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever." So what is John painting this picture of? He's seeing this, and it's a majestic scene of the throne room of God. Now, the little background, There's all these living creatures, the four living creatures and the 24 elders in this majestic scene of God's throne room. And they're all sitting down. They're not sitting down. They're on their face before the Lord in worship and adoration toward Him. Notice there what they say: "You are worthy to take the scrolls and to open its seals." Why are they worshiping the Lord? Why are they worshiping Him? Because He is worthy. Because He's worthy to take the scroll. He is worthy. He was the only one worthy to open that seal. The only Lamb, perfect and spotless, worthy to open that seal. And that's why they were worshiping Him. And they have, as it continues on, I love this verse in verse 12. Actually, in verse 11, they said, "The voice of many angels around this throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Tons of people, tons of living creatures. As in verse 13, it says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard them saying." They were all singing the praises of the Lord. They were all speaking the praises of the Lord. And this is what they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." They were worshiping the Lord. Because why? Because He is worthy. And that's why we worship. That's why when we up here on Sunday nights or Sunday mornings, whenever you guys meet, we worship. We give this time to praise the Lord so we can enter into the throne room of God so we can worship Him. Because why? He is worthy. He is worthy to take the scroll. He is worthy to open the seal. And that's why we worship Him. God in His... We can't even begin to imagine the infinite power, the infinite wisdom of God. We can't even begin to imagine how big God is and all His worthiness. Because in our human minds and our infinite... His infinitude does not match up with our finite minds or anything like that. And that's why we worship Him, because He is holy, because He is worthy, and He is worthy to be praised. Well, we've seen kind of, you know, what worship is. We've seen that, you know, it's that adoring reverence. It's that praise we're to bring to the Lord, that praise that we're to honor Him with and to fear Him with. And we've seen why we worship the Lord, because He's worthy. And just the fact that He's done something in each one of your guys' life, and He's done something in my life, He's done something in every one of your hearts, is fact enough for me just to worship Him, because He's changed my life. He's grown me in so many ways that I can't even begin to explain. And that's why I worship. That's why I worship, because He is holy, He is worthy, and He's powerful. And He's done all this stuff in our lives. And that's just one reason that we worship Him. But I wanted to look at, you know, we say this worship, how are we to worship? There's many, many aspects of worship. Why don't we all turn to Psalm 149. Turn with me there. We're going to look at, obviously, a psalm. These are psalms of praise David's writing. I'll read that there with me. I'll let you guys all get there. And David, he was a man of God, a man after God's own heart. And he's writing these words. And he's writing these praises to the Lord. And I know I was talking with a brother earlier, and he said, you know, sometimes it's hard for men just to enter in because they think it's into worship, into the time of singing songs, because they think it's, you know, feminine or kind of girly. But it's not. This is the worship of a holy God who is worthy. We saw in Revelation that scene of the throne, of the throne room of God and all His majesty and all these elders, all these living creatures, these powerful creatures were all bowing down before Him and giving Him worship and adoration because He was worthy. He is worthy. So let's look here at Psalm 149. This is David writing. He says, "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with dance. Let them sing praises to Him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all His saints." And continue on in chapter 150, he says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." So do we see a common theme there? Praise. That's worship. Praise and worship of the Lord. And what are we to worship Him as? Well, we see a bunch of instruments David's listing here. But not only are we to worship with, you know, we use instruments and tools that allow us to lead us into the throne room of God, but we also, with our breath, with our voices. You guys are breathing right now, right? In and out, yeah? You've got breath. He's given you breath. What does that mean? We're to praise the Lord. Since He's given us that life, since He's given us that breath, we're to praise the Lord. We've been created to worship Him. We are His poema. We are His song of praise to Him. We're our lives are to be a worship to Him. That's the next thing I wanted to look at. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what do we see there? A living sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? That's an act of worship. Sacrifice is an act of worship to God. Now, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifices. That is an act of worship to the Lord. You know, I don't know how you do a living sacrifice. I mean, technically you're supposed to kill sacrifices. So, but we're walking dead, I guess. But living sacrifices to the Lord, our lives are to reflect a worship to the Lord, an adoring reverence for the Lord. Everything you do, everything you say, everything that you interact with people, or however, everything you do, that's to be a worship to the Lord. That's to be an adoring reverence for the Lord. And as men, we're the leaders. And we are to worship the Lord and to lead others by our example, by how we live in this world and how we live. Are we those living sacrifices that we're called to be, that Paul tells us here? We're to live our lives as an aspect of praise to Him, as a song of praise to Him. That's why worship is so important, because worship is what we do. Worship, we are created, like David said here in Psalm 150, we are created to praise the Lord. Praise Him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And because why? We looked at it in Revelation. Because He is worthy. Because He is holy. Worthy is the Lamb to take that seal and to break that seal. Because He is the only one who is totally blameless, totally spotless. Another way how we worship the Lord, we worship the Lord through the study of His Word. This is a time of worship right now. As we're entering into fellowship with the Lord through His Word, we're seeking the Lord through His Word. Psalm 138, verse 2, go ahead and turn there with me. It's just a couple, if you're still in Psalm 150, just a couple pages back there. David said, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. So if the Lord has magnified above the word above His name, and we're required to praise His name and worship His name, then we also enter into worship through the study of His word, through the study of that fellowship that we have with Him. When we open up our Bible in the morning, and we're sitting before the Lord in devotions, wherever you're reading at, and you're spending that time with the Lord, that's a worship of the Lord. That's praising the Lord. That's giving Him that time of your day that He has given you. And it's setting aside that time in the morning and just sitting before His throne and having that devotion, that worship Him. And it's cool because it's just that time. Those times is when the Lord really speaks to us most. Because you're just alone with God. You don't have any distractions. You don't have, you know, whatever your siblings or your, not siblings, your other people in your family or just... You're alone and you're with the Lord. And that's the time that the Lord, I know for me personally, that's when the Lord really speaks to me. And that's when the Lord, how I cultivate my relationship with the Lord and how I enter into worship of the Lord. So we see that we worship the Lord with songs of praise. We worship the Lord with our lives. And we worship the Lord through the study of His Word. Now let's go ahead and turn back to 2 Samuel. We're going to look at an example of worship. 2 Samuel 6. We're just going to read here. And David, a little background here. The Philistines had just been defeated. David's been king over Israel and all that. And the Philistines, they just defeated the Philistines who had took the Ark of the Covenant. And they just got the Ark back. Now, what David wanted to do, he wanted to bring the Ark back into the city. So let's read this. And starting in verse 1, he says, And again, David gathered all choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal-Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took a hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of God come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all the household, and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of trumpet. So we see an interesting occurrence here. What is David trying to do? He is trying to bring the ark of the Lord into the city of David as an act of worship. He desires that the ark of the covenant, be in its rightful place. He desires that the Lord would be worshipped through this. Now David had a good desire, right? He had a right desire. It was good that the Ark of the Covenant was coming into the city of David and into the temple and all that. But we see here, David messed up. He did it the wrong way. Now, in the same way, we may have a good desire to worship the Lord. We may have a good desire to praise Him with our lives. But if we're not doing it the way that He requires us to do it, then that's not going to be accepted to Him. Just for instance, the Cain and Abel. Abel brought the first fruits of his offering. Now, Cain didn't do that. Cain didn't bring that before the Lord, and the Lord honored Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering. So there we see that because Cain didn't worship the Lord in the right way, the Lord did not honor his offering. In the same way, because David messed up here, we see that in verse 4 he says, I'm sorry, no, verse 3. He says, "So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab." Hold on a second. Wait a minute, David. Here's this man of God, and he's saying, "Okay, we're going to take the Ark of God up into the city of David, but we're going to put on this new cart. It's a new cart. New cart. You know, it's good. It's got some new wheels on it, and it looks good, you know. But hold on a second, David. Is that the way that the Lord required the Ark to be transported? Is that the way that the Lord required His articles to be handled? No, that wasn't the way. The requirement was that the Levites had to be carrying it on poles so that nobody touched the Ark of God. But we see here that when David was trying to do it his way, to worship the Lord his way, we see the effects of it. The cart stumbled, the oxen stumbled, and the cart tipped, and Uzzah reached out his hand to try to stop the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, he was struck dead. Because why? Because David didn't recognize that the Lord had set these requirements to transport the ark of the Lord. He set the requirements for worshiping Him in the correct way, but he didn't follow those. And in the same way for our lives, that the Lord wants us to worship Him. But if we're not worshiping Him in the right way, if we're not worshiping with our lives, our hearts totally sold out for Him, totally honoring Him for why? Because He's worthy, because He's holy, and He set these requirements for us. And if we're not doing that as men of God, then obviously we see examples from Scripture. He's not going to accept that. Just like He didn't accept Cain's offering, but Abel's. Because Cain didn't bring it the right way. Just like David, when he tried to do that, the Lord was angered. And the guy got killed. He was dead. Now, when David saw his mistake, he became angry. Probably because, oh man, I messed up. You know, sometimes we, as guys, I know I do, sometimes I get angry when I mess up because I see what I did. Oh man, I shouldn't have done that. You know? And in the same way, David probably became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Now, David was afraid of the Lord that day. You know, probably more of a, probably combined a reverential fear and an actual fear of the Lord because, oh man, he just killed a guy. God just killed him. Because why? David wasn't doing worshiping the Lord in the right way. That's the encouragement for us. You know, we may have the good desire to worship the Lord, but if we're not doing it the way he called us to, if we're not totally living sold out, totally abandoned for him in our hearts and as living sacrifices, then he doesn't want that. He wants all of you. He doesn't want half of you. He doesn't want just a little bit of your heart. He wants all your heart. And he wants you to live for him as an act of worship to him. And so we continue on and we see that, you know, he put the ark over there in Obed-Edom's house, and he says he just left it there for 3 months. And we see that the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, when David hears this, he's like, all right, let's try this again. This time, David was going to do it right. This time, we see that he does it right. So, here we go. In verse 13, he says, and so it was when those bearing the ark. Notice there, when those bearing the ark. So, the Levites. He got the Levites. He'd got the poles. They were doing it. They were carrying the ark of the Lord up to the city of David the right way. And when he did, he was going to do this all right. So when he did this, notice here in verse 13, so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. So this is what they do. They all of them would get on the ark and they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can't take 6 steps there. But they would stop and they say, okay, David's like, okay, everybody stop. And then they sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Now, it's probably a little bit of ways from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David. That was probably a lot of sacrificing. You know, every 6 steps he stopped. And he said, okay, stop, sacrifice those oxen and those fatted sheep. And why was he doing all this? Because he desired to worship the Lord in the right way. And he was doing it the right way. He desired to live his life. He desired to lead the people and as an act of worship to take this Ark of Covenant to the city of David the right way. And so he wasn't going to mess up. So every 6 steps he sacrificed those fatted sheep and those oxen. And then see, and he concludes and he says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. So we see this example, this man of God who desired to worship the Lord in the right way, but at first he messed up. Now, the Lord wants us to worship Him in the right way. He wants us to bring Him His praises. Our lives, as we saw in Romans 12:1, we're living sacrifices for Him. We're to be wholly set aside for Him and sanctified as living sacrifices and wholly set apart for Him to live our lives for Him as an act of worship. Because why? Because He's worthy. Because He's holy. When we sing these songs up here, you know, this is just one aspect of worship. When we're singing songs, and who's ever up here, I'm sure they're not up there just to entertain you. They're not. They're not up there to make pretty noises and sounds or whatever and music for you just to have pleasure. No, they're up there to worship the Lord. They're up there to bring you into the throne room of God. And they're not up there to make you feel good entering into the Lord's, you know, presence, that's good, but they're not up there to entertain you. I can guarantee that. I know Mike and I know for our church too, I'm not up there when I'm singing those songs, I'm not up there to entertain you guys. I know, I'm flat out going to tell you, I'm not up there to entertain you. It's a time for you guys to enter into the Lord's presence, to enter in and worship Him. Because why? He's worthy. He is holy. He was that lamb. He is that lamb who has taken the seal and He's broken the seal. He's the only one worthy. He's the only perfect man. And He's worthy. That's just one aspect of worship. Now, with our lives in the same way, we're those living sacrifices. We're to set our lives aside, to set our lives apart from this world. It's these songs that we sing, it's a time for us just to sit before the Lord and just to ask Him to meet us in that place. To bring those songs, those words that we sing, they're not just supposed to be words that, you know, oh, those are, I surrender all, you know. No, do you surrender? Do you mean those words that you're singing? That's what the Lord's interested in. You know, holy is the Lord, God Almighty. Do you mean that? Do you worship Him with your heart? Do you worship Him with all that you are? Do you worship Him with a seemingly reckless abandon almost as you're giving your heart and giving your all to Him? Do you worship Him in that way? And that's what He desires, our whole heart, worshiping Him. Just as David, you know, desired to worship the Lord the second time when he was going to do it right, all right. Every six steps, he sacrificed those fatted sheep and those fatted oxen. He desired to do it right. He wasn't going to do it wrong. He desired to worship the Lord with all that he could. Now, the point of all this is just to encourage you guys, just to enter into that worship. It's not just the songs that we sing. It's not just the little half hour before the message on Sunday mornings. And it's not just the a couple songs afterwards. No, worship is an act of our lives. Worship is what we do. Worship is to be who we are. We are to worship the Lord. We are God's poema. We're His poem. He's created us. Why? To worship. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. An interesting aspect about this. In our youth group, we're going through we just finished it, the book of 1 John. And it's interesting how John, he finishes his epistle there, his first epistle. And he says, in the last verse, after all he's told us, after all he's said to us, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, after everything he'd been telling the believers, after all the truth, after all the facts that we can know that we believe and continue to believe, which is the main theme of the book of 1 John, he tells us to keep ourselves from idols. Now, why is that important to worship? And why is that, you know, why am I talking about idols all of a sudden? Well, because idolatry is so easy to enter into. And that's what hinders us in our worship of the Lord. That's what can hinder us of our worship for the Lord. When like the children of Israel, what did they keep going back to? They kept going back to the other gods, idolatry. That was their main thing. They always went after the other nations' gods. They always went after to sacrifice and worship the other nations' gods. And that was their main thing. That was their main deal. They always went away from the Lord. And because it was so easy for them, they just, oh, hey, you know, who's God? Like in the Ten Commandments, when Moses went up to the mountain and he came back down after 40 days and they're worshiping a golden calf and saying that calf, who can't even move, it brought him out of Egypt. And Moses is like, guys, that cow did not bring you out of Egypt. And he, you know, he ground it up and made him drink it and all that. But so easily, 40 days, so easily they had gone off the wrong deep end. And that's why it's important for us to be warned of idolatry. It's so easy for us. And it's what can hinder us from worshiping the Lord truly. And idolatry is so easy. It can be the smallest thing. It might be, you know, something in your garage that you like to spend a lot of time on, you know, waxing, you know, washing or something. Or it could be a relationship, or it could be a job maybe. You like to work a lot. I mean, that work is good, but when it becomes your constant consuming passion, that's when it's an idol. That's when it becomes an idol, and that's when it hinders your life from truly worshiping the Lord and truly entering into the Lord's presence. And so that was really cool, and I, on the way up here, I kind of was like, oh, that's so cool. Because when Mike asked me, I was like, what? So it was like, I was kind of putting together the things in my mind, and that came across my mind, and I was like, oh yeah, that's really interesting. Because we just finished that, and I just finished teaching the kids, you know, hey, this is important stuff. If John sees it as important enough to finish his book with it, to wrap up everything in his book, say, hey, little children, keep yourselves from idols, you know, I think we should look at it too and say, hey, we need to pay attention. Listen up, guys. Idolatry, we saw Israel. Everything that Israel would run after was idolatry. They'd always run after the Lord, away from the Lord, and not worship Him. And idolatry is what can hinder us from the Lord. And, you know, we want to truly, I know as men, I know I do, I want to truly live my life as an act of worship to Him. And I want to encourage you guys to have that same desire, to have that same desire to worship Him as that living sacrifice set apart for Him, to be those men of God, to be those leaders. And as you have those desires to worship Him with your whole life, that you would lead others with your lives as an act of worship to Him. So tonight, or this morning, I just kind of wanted to close out practically and, you know, in prayer as well. But I wanted to sing a couple more songs and just worship the Lord. And don't be distracted by who's ever the guy next to you or whatever. You know, you sit, stand, raise your hands, close your eyes. It doesn't matter. The Lord just wants your heart. The Lord just wants you to worship Him. And, you know, because why? Because He is worthy and because He is holy. So, Father, we just we thank You and we worship You, Lord, and we ask that You would just make that real in our lives, Lord, that as we just seek to worship You with our lives, that You would just bless us, Lord, and we desire to live our lives as living sacrifices to You, Lord. We desire to live our lives wholly sold out for You and to lift up Your name in praise and to bless Your name, Lord. For You are holy and You are worthy.